You may be seated, and our secretary is not with us tonight. She is, we recognize her. I think I may have mentioned this before. She's the president of the State County Clerks Association. She is hosting their quarterly meeting. And so we're honored to have them actually in Conway, over the hill of the Garden Inn. And it's a great honor for her. Really speaks well for the county for her to be president of that association. She's roundly respected around the state, and I appreciate her. So tonight, standing in as secretary will be Tammy Jennings, her chief deputy. Thank you for joining Tammy. It's all roll.
Allison.
Here.
Coates.
Present.
Kendrick.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Kopsky.
Here.
Lyon.
Here.
Meeks.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
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 Here. Motion to approve.
Second.
Did you get the motion second?
Second.
All right. Now, any changes, additions, deletions? Hearing none, all approved by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That will be approved. Next, tab number two, county officers report. I see we have Chief Deputy Chad Woolley with us. Is there a sheriff's officer report today?
All right, Sheriff's Office report for August. Our Unit 1 capacity was 147. We averaged 161 in our Unit 2 male, 71 in our females, and 9 juveniles. We had 487 intakes, 446 releases, averaged about 14 ADC inmates. Total numbers of calls to the Sheriff's Office was 1,755. 91 violent crimes, domestics, 53 thefts, criminal mischiefs, 99 animal calls, 4 animal citations, and our reserve unit put in 587 hours last month. Our criminal investigation division, they signed 45 cases, they closed 33. And our transport division, 95 total trips. And you can see the breakdown there between in-state extraditions, out-of-state, and then if the formula shows it would be more cost effective to use a third party, then that's at the very bottom, and we had 3 of those. That's my report.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions for the Chief? I will just draw your attention to, I really just appreciate the presence of the Sheriff's Department and the Reserve Program, both at the County Fair Parade Tuesday and then so far this week out at the fair. It's comforting seeing all that presence. Very professional looking. I know there's much more behind the scenes that's not visible. So take a moment to just appreciate all the work that is not really recognized because it's not visible, but it's complex, and I know all the work you're doing. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Next, the clerk's report is out there as per norm, and if you have any questions, you can certainly reach out to Margaret and beyond that, the treasurer's report next. We've got Treasurer Scott Sanson.
Thank you, Judge. If you'll turn with me a summary statement for quorum court, January 1st, 2025 through August 31st, 2025. County General Fund 1,000, $4,686,620.71. County Road Fund 2,000, $8,886,946.49. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $3,661,590.64. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,512,152.69. Criminal Justice Tax Fund 3407, $2,148,183.52. Coronavirus Relief Fund 1005, $994,788.36. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $2,416,133.91. ARP Revenue Replacement Fund 1006, $5,705,030.69. If you'll turn with me to page 2. Now, these are actually backwards. Turn with me to page 5, if you would. These are a little bit out of order this month. This is County General Revenue. As you can see, kind of following the same trend that we have. We've talked about it in months past, but our revenue is much greater this year, partly due to some revenue that was supposed to be here last year that come in this year. So everything's looking good as far as the revenue side in County General. We expect to top somewhere about $14.5 million. Turn with me to page 3. This is our sales tax. Sales tax for August was $1,267,950.58. That's 69% of our projected revenue of $14.3 million. I think we talked about it a little bit in budget and finance. I think we're going to probably end up around the $14.5 to $14.8 million in our sales tax. We'll have to kind of see, may even top $15 million if things come out right, but looking really good on the sales tax. You know, we kind of talked about that earlier, how we were falling behind. In our running totals on the sales tax on the next page, running totals for the year is $9,827,615.49. That's up 4.88% as far as August to August goes, and we're down only 1.14% year-to-date. That went down 1.4% year-to-date is due, once again, to that anomaly in January of 24. Now, if you'll flip back to page 2, I'm sorry these are out of order this month, but that's on me. This is our chart of our sales tax. As you can see, our three-month moving average is holding above our one-year moving average, and our one-year moving average is trending up slightly. It looks good. We're really looking good on the sales tax side. Are there any questions?
Justice Yorgi saw her first.
I have a question on the County General Revenue. You mentioned that the large jump April to May was due to some collected revenues that were from the prior year. Was that ADC reimbursements or something else?
Okay, so when we talk about jump from April to May, if you look all the other years jump too, that is when we receive our ad valorem tax from escrow accounts. The jump we also got that month was about $1.6 million, I think, that month in payment from Arkansas Department of Corrections, in which $1 million of that was we were expecting in 24, but didn't get it until that point.
Okay. And what is the status of reimbursements this year? I know that the ADC inmate count has been lower this year than in the past, but are those being reimbursed in a more timely manner?
Yeah, I think that's a question for the sheriff's office. I just see it when they're receipted, not so much when they're due. I'm sorry to push
Chief,
that off on them.
I'm sorry, I'll toss to the chief. Chief, do you have an answer on hand? I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that, but if you'd repeat the question, please.
I was wondering if the reimbursements for ADC inmate housing are coming in a more timely manner this year than they did last year.
Yes, so in part last year it was kind of a mixture with our software crash and some other stuff. But, yeah, they come in on a monthly basis and we're filling them in, turn them back in, and then really it's up to ADC when they send us the check to be received. So, yes, they are. They're on schedule this year.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for the treasurer? Thank you, Mr. Treasurer.
Thank you, Judge.
I think the takeaway that I take away from that is I don't see you with big, wide-eyed looks on your face. It's getting toward the end of the year. We're not falling short.
Honestly, as far on the revenue side, we're looking really good.
Thank you. Next, with the officers' reports, let's have Administrator Randy Higgins, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. If you would, go ahead and roll back to the statement of operations pages where the Sheriff's Department report was, and the next page after that is the coroner's report. And it's in your book every month, and I don't always cover it, but I did want to just touch on it this month. This is the new report that we started in January, and I told you in January and February that they're just numbers. But now we're 8 months into it, and we can see it enough to see trends. And you can infer certain things from it. Number one, when you look at the total, the total number of calls that the coroner's office is running on a monthly basis, reading up from the bottom, you can see the calls that are between 5 and 8, which are nighttime calls, and then those between 8 and 5, which are daytime calls. You know, this month is about 50-50, 52-50. So half the calls that they're running are after hours. So they're having to respond in the middle of the night for their calls. The line above that shows weekend calls. So there are 37 of the 102 calls were on weekends. It just goes to show the number of calls that they're running. They're not doing 8 to 5 during the business day. They're running 24 hours a day. And a big part of these are after hours and on weekends that they're having to get up, and they're unplanned. I mean, they don't know when all that's going to happen. You know, you guys can look at the categories themselves. It's interesting to note the number of homicides that we've had this year. Again, right now they're just numbers. As we show these year after year, we'll be able to see if we're in a high year or a low year regarding homicides, suicides, accidents, those kind of things. So I hope you find this information informative to you. It's something that really was not visible to us until this year. But I just wanted to mention that as we start to see this, we see trends, and the trend tells a better story than just a monthly number. Okay? Any questions about the coroner's report? All right, just a couple of updates on capital projects, courthouse. So Justice Tyler hit me up pretty quick about, are we going to meet next month in courtroom A, or are we going to be back here? The plan for right now is we will have committees here in October, and full court meeting will be in courtroom A. If everything falls into place as I have it scheduled right now. The arch windows, the big windows, has been the big time keeper at this point. Supply issues that were not the fault of the contractor, just getting them in. We finally got them in. They started work on them. They said it would take about a day a week, and they were on schedule. That first one took about a day and a half to figure it out. One of the things that we really wanted them to do, the judge and I were hoping they could save the old windows. I'm not really sure why. We might want to use them for something historical at some point. But as it turned out, they were double flanged. And what that means is they were flanged on both sides, and they had to cut them out. So we might be able to save the arches. Just a shock. If you want one for a souvenir, I may have one, just the arch part. But the, they were red iron windows. They were pretty sturdy and everything. But anyway, we got them all out. They were able to make up the half a day that they lost on the first windows by doing the other ones. And then right now they're all hung, and now they're coming back and trimming and caulking and doing that part. They're working on those today. So we're in good shape there. The drape vendor has been notified. They should be able to start next week to hang the drapes. But again, they've got to come back in, put up scaffolding to make all of that work. So I'm kind of nervous because it's a real tight schedule, but right now it looks like we should be in good shape to have Quorum Court there next month. Matter of fact, Monday I had scheduled the post-project punch list walkthrough. So Wesley and I, our building and grounds administrator, will walk through and see if there's any paint marks missing or scratches on the walls and those kinds of things, and they'll come back and fix those. So looking forward to having that project finished. Jail, quick update on that. The trades have been notified that the project's going out for bid, so they're starting to work up their pricing. The plans have been 100% completed. They've been distributed. Nabholz had worked with me this week. Looks like the bid date is scheduled for bid opening on October the 21st, that we can open the bids. Once we get those bids in, confirm that we're in the money like we think we will be, then we'll start talking about actually a groundbreaking, which will come relatively quick after that, this fall. I was hoping might be able to do that in October, maybe a little bit to push it that quick with bid opening being on the 21st, but certainly hoping that we'll be able to do it late October, November. Any questions about the jail or the courthouse? All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you so much, Randy.
I would like to note, too, also that Nick Davis, our animal shelter director, is here and would like to give a short report.
Absolutely. Mr. Davis, there he is. Come on up, Nick. Thank you for coming.
It just shouldn't take too long. I just have some numbers on our intakes and ongoing work at the shelter going on right now. The building is doing great. The air conditioning got finished, and it's holding a solid below 80 degrees, which is good.
Good.
If you look at your sheet there, we had 280 intakes total. That's a pretty big number for 5 months being open. We didn't take our first animals until April 16th, I think it was our first call. The outcome rates are really, really good this go around. We've had adoption rates going really high due to a big donation for sponsored adoption. So that's been pushing animals out of the building pretty quickly. Our intakes are partly due to partnerships with ongoing rescue efforts in the county that are not directly related to us, but we're helping large numbers of animals get into the shelter and readopted out. So we're working with rescue groups, other shelters, processing animals through really quickly. So that's been helping out the numbers a lot. On that sheet there, you have most of our intakes and outcomes. If you have any questions about those, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Director Davis?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Davis, I just want to say thank you, I think, to the amount of animals you're able to process, you know, not just getting them in the door, but getting them out the door.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Davis? Just Yogi.
I know we talked when the building opened, and you were educating me about the length of time that's sort of mandatory for any animal that comes in. So on this average, just remind me what that kind of mandatory length is, and these average lengths of stay, how much longer is that than kind of the bare minimum?
Right. So the minimum by county ordinance right now is 10 days. So if we get a stray, that is strictly just strays. If we take in an owner surrender, seizure or anything like that, it's slightly different. Owner surrenders become our property immediately. We can adopt them the next day if we want to. So it helps drop that number a little bit. If we have a seizure, that depends on the situation. If it's a legal seizure, we have to wait for court dates. So whoever's in trouble for that situation where we seize a dog, we have to wait until they're plead guilty, found guilty, or whatever outcome the court has us do for that. So those numbers vary. The length of stay is averages for animals based under those categories. Typically, they're a little lower on transfers because those animals are partially vetted at least, or they become our property immediately and we can adopt them out. So length of stay for something that's a surrender or a transfer comes in, we get it vetted and immediately start advertising it for adoption. So that drops that number quite a bit. Strays are a 10-day minimum, so that adds a minimum of 10 days to the length of stay regardless, just because of legal ramifications. We can't adopt a dog out unless we know for sure an owner's not coming forward, and we try to advertise that to make sure they know their dog is missing. And then those numbers are calculated monthly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions on the reports? Yes, Justice Lahosky.
Thank you, Judge. I think you might have said this. I'm looking at monies collected, at the amount of intakes and outcomes. Is this in a month? Is this for the past since you've been open? What's the time?
Coming up on 5 months. So on the 15th of this month, it'll be 5 months that we've been fully open and taking in animals.
Okay, since open.
And,
all right.
And the monies in collected is a little lower simply because we're getting donations for sponsored adoptions.
Yep.
So we've had about 120 sponsored adoptions. They're paid for through donations rather than income. So we've actually had about $7,500 come in just for donations for sponsored adoptions. Once that money runs out, then we start taking money from the public for adoptions again at our normal adoption rates.
Very informative. Other questions?
I just want to quickly say how impressed I am by the quality and the quantity of data you guys are collecting right out the gate. It's been very helpful for me answering constituent questions and requests about the operations of the shelter, and for you guys to do something so efficiently and holistically right out the gate speaks really well of your operation, and I appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you. It's good to know.
Impressive. We've all been hearing from the constituents, and I would echo what Justice Pearson said. Seems to be, on the whole, by far, appreciation and satisfaction for the operation. Any other questions? Thank you again.
Not necessarily a question, but just a couple of comments. My understanding is that the shelter is running under budget at this point.
Yes, I have that with me here, too.
So we have that on our other form too, but we are running under budget, as well as the SNP program was, there was some confusion with the SNP program, which is the voucher, low-cost spay and neuter, with the contract with companions and all that stuff when we first got started. It was a lot. You know, we said from the beginning we needed to crawl before we walked, and we wanted the shelter to be the priority. That SNP program is being reinstated. It will look a little different because it will be under the shelter, and they will be running that. The county will kind of be out of it, but that money will still be there, and there will be some changes as far as what's a voucher, what's low cost, and then we will also be doing some free spay and neuter under certain guidelines. So that should be started within the next couple of weeks.
As far as the budget goes, the last printout that I got from the county administration on 9/10, we were running about 37.5% so far out of 5 months. We're on track to keep that number pretty low. Part of that is due to kind of slowly rolling in new employees. We're only taking them in as we need them and as the numbers keep coming up and the intakes come up and the number of call-outs come up. We're functioning essentially as an emergency squad for the Sheriff's Department for calls. We do pickups when they call us, and we have on-call crew that goes out at night to cover that. So we do all pickups if they require them. I think if I could do the math, obviously there's some stuff up in the air that's still being processed through the county. I think we're going to be significantly under, and obviously next year that budget will reflect that.
Good news. Other comments or questions? Mr. Davis, thank you.
Thank you.
ARP Road Administrator Tom Anderson.
Thank you, Your Honor. If you look at the first page, you'll see I've reworked the report. We consolidated all the completed projects on the first page just to make it a little cleaner. Call your attention to page 2 on the jail expenditure since last report, about $750,000, so that's progressing pretty good. As Randy said, they're going to open bids soon and start construction. The next note is on page 3 that I have, the Mayfire Wastewater. They've had about $100,000, and that's engineering as well. I still think they're going to be on pace to execute all their money by next year. Subject to questions, that covers my ARP highlights.
Any questions in the ARP report?
Okay. If you'll turn to the road report, we've done a mile and a half of chip seal since the last report. Of note, we worked on the fairgrounds on the east side of the facility out there to help with everything that happens on the east side of the facility. We did a pretty good job, if I say so myself. On the asphalt, we've done a small subdivision and three different patches around the county that we've had to rework. They were falling in for about a mile total. We expect Rogers Group to come out sometime next month and start finishing up our asphalt projects for the year. We have a subdivision just north of the 8 Mile Store we're going to do at Majestic Valley. Then we'll do a little bit of work at Plantation on River Road Drive and then Fortson. And there's a small road off of Elliott that's kind of fallen through. We'll pave that Cornerstone Drive. The road shop, we're going to open bids the 30th of this month. And then we'll start with the dirt work portion of that, awarding those contracts first so we can get the foundation work going before the rain sets in for the winter, if we do have a wet winter. There's probably going to be right at 24 different subs I'll have to manage when all that's said and done. So we'll go through the process of awarding those after we get the dirt work awarded. We are progressing pretty good with getting the dirt work done for the slope on the north end of the project. We're having to take quite a bit of the hill off for that. The back end of that is where we'll park our dump trucks, and then we'll continue on as we go toward the road working on that dirt work. We're trying to decide if we want to complete the parking lot and the whole bit of dirt work except for the foundation this year, or if we'll do it next year. We're uncertain on that. Subject to any questions, that completes my report, Your Honor.
Thank you, Tom. Any questions?
I may, Judge.
Just lying.
Do you by chance have any updates on any of the RDOT projects, Highway 286?
286, they say notification is impending, so I expect that any day.
What about the Highway 25 in Elliott?
I think that's going to be a ways down the road, probably 2 or 3 years with the information we're getting from them now. We've had to pay a part of our matching, but it's just been a few thousand dollars, so that's still being engineered.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Good questions. And those timelines are in line with what we've seen elsewhere around Central Arkansas. Basically, there's an engineering backlog literally everywhere. So we'd like them to be done now, but that's pretty much par for the course. Justice Lahosky.
I just want to get Mr. Anderson why he's here. One other thing that you, I think you handle, and you tell me if I'm wrong, is our insurance, county insurance.
That's correct.
You still do that. I didn't ask you this before, so I know you're not prepared, but are you thinking coming into next year and coming out of this year, is there anything in your mind that gives you anxiety with our health insurance plan as far as money goes, or are we healthy?
This year looks good.
Yeah.
We expect to have a little bit of an increase next year. Generally, we like to wait as long as we can in the budget season to get our quotes because they get more data and they get a better picture of what they expect for next year. So we won't know till those come in. They say expect about a 10% increase, but we won't know till they get us the actual number.
Talk to other justices across the state and other county judges across the state, and one of their concerns and one of their problems that they deal with a lot is their health insurance plan mm-hmm. for their county. So I want to thank you for keeping ours healthy as we move forward. Thank you, Judge, for leniency on the agenda
you
there.
Bet. Yeah, no. Thank you. Good stuff, and spent nothing less than that with the chair of budget and finance. Any other questions for Tom? Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Aaron.
Tom and Randy are exceptionally busy. I appreciate them. Standing committee reports. Let's start, as usual, at the far end with infrastructure.
Yes, Your Honor. Infrastructure did not meet this month.
Okay. Courts and Public Safety. Justice Coates.
Yes, sir. Courts and Public Safety also did not meet this month.
Okay. Budget and Finance, Justice Husky.
Thank you, Judge. We met last week, and we approved, I believe, two ordinances last week.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Personnel, Justice Kendrick.
Judge, Personnel met. I think we had four items on our agenda. We sent two to budget and then two to the full court agenda tonight. That's all I've got.
Very good. Next on the agenda is special reports, and I noticed that Extension Agent Mary Beth Gross is here. Do you have anything to address the court with?
Not really, but a little. So this is our 4-H'ers Super Bowl week. They're at the fair right now, so they're all doing their thing out there. But they've been doing a really great job. We had our fundraiser last month for our 4-H fish fry, and so I think we're going to net somewhere around $15,000, which is about what we did last year, which is really good. We have two more coming up for 4-H. We're selling smoked turkey breast for Thanksgiving and smoked hams for Christmas. So be looking for emails and flyers and stuff like that because they'll be coming your way. And we have another Master Gardener class that's starting this October. We already have about 250 Master Gardeners, and I know we're about 20-ish that are going to be trained, and that's the last number I got. That's not the most recent, that are going to be trained starting in October. And we've got food preservation classes going next week, and just, I told you I didn't have anything, but there's always a lot. There's always stuff, but open to questions.
Yeah. Any questions?
I don't have a question, but I'd like to thank you for the tour last month and letting us go out there with you and treating us to lunch. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Very good. Anything else for Extension Agent Mary Beth Gross? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you as always. Any other special reports come before the court? Next item, old business. Any old business come before the court? Moving along to new business, tab number 3, proposed ordinance 25-24. It's an appropriation ordinance. Do we have a motion?
Judge, I'll make a motion for the approval of 25-24.
Second. Justice Knight had the second that I heard. All right, got a motion and second. Can we have a reading, please?
Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 24-52, dated November 20th, 2024, and to declare an emergency.
Thank you. Justice Lahosky.
Thank you, Judge. Just looking at the big numbers here, Section 5, we know it's not uncommon as we get this late in the year for staffing shortages in the I don't know if shortages is really the word, but, you know, when they're not fully staffed, for some of that leftover full-time salaries to have to roll into overtime. 51 just looks to me, and Chad can confirm, if usually these are insurance reimbursements for vehicle issues and stuff like that. Thank you.
Very good. Any discussion? Any questions? All right, Madam Secretary, roll call vote, please.
Yes.
Cousins? Yes.
Kendrick?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Lahousie?
Yes.
Lyons?
Yes.
Meek?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Shaw?
Yes.
Strang?
Yes.
Tyler?
Yes.
Jordan?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Motion carries. 25-24 passes. Next, we have tab number 4, proposed ordinance 25-25, new position regarding VOCA. What is your pleasure?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 25-25 on the floor.
Second.
Kendrick and Coates. Can we have a reading, please?
Proposed ordinance 25-25, sponsored by Justice Kendrick, being enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an ordinance to create a new position in Victim Witness Department 0429 and to declare an emergency.
All right. Justice Kendrick.
Thank you, Judge. Judge, this is for a new county position for a victim witness coordinator for our prosecutor's office. It's a grant-funded position. The grant is running out from the state, and the request is that the county pick this up and do it. This is for the position itself. The funding is already there. But this is something that's a critical position within the prosecutor's office. It's something I'm fully supportive of. And if I can have some leniency, Judge, I'll open up the floor to our prosecutor, Ms. Carol Cruz.
Absolutely.
To speak
Welcome
on
Prosecutor Carol Cruz.
Hello. Good evening. Thank you all for recognizing me. This is a position that is on the Victims of Crime grant, federal grant that's been cut repeatedly over several years. A lot of y'all remember I've been in here before about some cuts. This is the final cut, I believe, for Faulkner County. The only thing I'm asking for today, though, is just a position to put already existing funding in. The Quorum Court graciously gave me a position last year when I had a similar cut. And then a couple months into that, the governor had given some ARPA money to cover the grant. And so we actually haven't used any of the 2025 funding in that other position. So my only request today of the court is just to give me a position to move the already existing money into to pay this position through the end of the year, because a federal grant cycle ends September 30th. So we're less than 2 weeks away from so this is a person who works here. She's assigned to Judge Braswell's court, so the busiest criminal court that we have, assisting victims of all types of crimes. And my only request today is just somewhere to put that money to pay her through the end of the year, and then we can reassess at budget time what that looks like moving forward for the position. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great explanation. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Allison?
Yes.
Coates?
Yes.
Kendrick?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Lahousie?
Yes.
Lyons?
Yes.
Meeks?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Shaw?
Yes.
Strain?
Yes.
Tyler?
Yes.
York?
Yes.
Thank you so much, and congratulations, Prosecutor Carol Cruz. Obviously, anybody who's, you know, we've got several in the room familiar with what that position does, and I see head nods, certainly former sheriff, current chief deputy. Appreciate that, that role. Thank you, and thank you for coming tonight. Just as next, we have tab number 5, proposed ordinance 25-26 regarding election, election coordinator.
Motion to put proposed ordinance 25-26 on the floor.
Second.
Okay, Kendrick and Lyon, motion and second. Can we have a reading, please?
Proposed ordinance 25-26, sponsored by Justice Kendricks, be it enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled, an ordinance to set the compensation of election coordinator position 1001 and to declare an emergency.
Okay, is Justice Kendrick?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Judge. So currently our election coordinator is a part-time position, and we have an opportunity right now. The position hasn't been filled. Our previous election coordinator has accepted a position with the state. So Ms. Darter's request was to make this a full-time position, which is on par with other Class 6 counties. She wasn't able to be here tonight because of the conference meeting that's going on, but she gave a rather detailed explanation about the election coordinator, the duties, and what that looks like as a full-time position. They'll stay busy, and if they aren't assisting with elections, there is other work within the clerk's office, and we do have a special election coming up, so plenty of work to be done. So that's it at a high level.
Thank you for that explanation. Any questions or comments of that? Justice Lahoski.
I may ask for some of your color on this, Judge. I want to paint a little bit of a picture for our newer justices. So we often think of election coordinator and we think of our county clerk's office. But this election coordinator department, this budget sits somewhere else within the county general fund. So, Judge, when we say kind of financially, it's not necessarily under the purview of the county clerk. Would you say that's correct? There was a conversation, and Mr. Higgins probably remembers this, and Justin, you might remember too, that it went back years ago when there was almost a fight over who the boss of the election coordinator was going to be and something like that. I just kind of wanted to paint a picture, though, for the newer justices who weren't around for that conversation.
Go ahead, Administrator Higgins.
So the election coordinator actually works for the county judge by statute, and in most counties they do that. And what the county judge does is we title them over, if you will, to the county clerk who runs the elections. We did have a little bit of an issue, Justice Lahoski, 6 or 7 years ago with this, 8 years ago with the election coordinator, the election commission, with the county clerk, the county judge had to step in, and we kind of had to define the roles. Once that little, that was a little bigger than a speed bump, but we did able to get through it and define what the roles are, and it's worked very well here in Faulkner County since then. So this position, technically, will work for the county judge, but Margaret Darter's already been in our office, spoken with us, and we've already blessed it and said, no, we get how it works by statute, but we don't run elections, the county clerk does. And so the county coordinator, the election coordinator on paper will work for us, but actually will respond to the county clerk. That pretty much covered it, Your Honor.
Thank you. Great question.
Thank you, Judge.
It didn't occur to me that the new JPs would have no idea about that. Constitutionally, any employee doesn't report to another elected official reports to the county judge. Counties all across the state, there are battles between the county clerk and the county judge. There was a little bit of a dust up here. Prior county judge administration, I think everybody worked through that in a professional manner. But I want to take this opportunity to underscore why the great relationship my administration and all of the other officials' administrations have among themselves and then with you as our quorum court. I'm saying nothing that you guys don't already know, but when there's no speed bump, you're not aware that there's a speed bump, right? I mean, so honestly, we're really in good position with relationships across the county, something near and dear to my heart, and I know that I shared that view with all of you. And Margaret came by and said, hey, well, first of all, Laura came by and delivered the bad news. Dark day in my office when we saw that the state had recruited her away, and I'm just kidding, but we all loved her. We all recognized that we believe was the best in the state. I think that's backed up by what Secretary of State did, came and snatched her away. That's okay. We're happy for her. You should be proud of Faulkner County. You've heard several things tonight that show where Faulkner County is unafraid to lead the way. And I take great pride in that, just myself as a citizen and being involved with county government. And we hope that's not the last time, because if it's not, that means we're continuing to do the right things. So we applaud her. And then just to the point of moving this from part-time to full-time, if you're familiar with the work that she did, it would not be fair or realistic to ask anyone to come in day one and conduct a special election on a part-time basis, at the very least, and most likely ever. So Margaret asked me, said, hey, we could discuss later on some of the workload sharing with that position if it gave you much problem. I said, hey, all I know is everywhere around the state and even beyond our state borders, everybody looked at Faulkner County for the way its elections were run, and you can point in those directions. I see a former election commission chair nodding in agreement. I say we change nothing there. We've seen discussions around even our state, but nationally, with regard to the integrity of elections, and let's not stop short at providing resources for that. So I applaud you. Go ahead.
Just one other point I'd like to make, and Justice Kendrick kind of passed over it, talking about the duties of the election coordinator, and hit that, and they do other things. And let me cover that those other things for just a moment, because they stay busy, and we get to interact with the election coordinator a great deal. But it's things like when they're not working actively on elections, they're out inspecting polling sites to make sure that the Wi-Fi will work adequately with our equipment. They're working with our building and grounds people to go out and do quarterly tests on the backup propane-powered battery generators that run the equipment should there be a power failure at an election site, because by law we have to have those up and running in a short period of time. It's things like last week we were working on installing new security equipment in the courthouse to make sure that we have a secure location at the court. So there are those kinds of things that are ongoing on a regular basis, and Laura was pretty good about coming over saying, Randy, I need some help with this, and we would just point her in the right direction to support that. So it is other stuff. There's a great deal of it outside of just elections.
You know what? And we'll continue to benefit from her expertise, just her skill. She was supremely competent. And so she's gone, but you know, her legacy here, she leaves us with a solid foundation. So Thank you for those comments, Randy. Want to thank the County Clerk's Office and certainly Laura, and wish her the best. Any questions or discussion?
And I will say, during the personnel committee meeting, Ms. Darter did address that the position would be reporting to the judge's office, but they've already been in coordination and talking, and which we would have come to expect. They've already worked out the details and highly coordinating this. So,
yeah. Thank you, Justice Kendrick. Justice Yorgi.
I have a couple of questions just about the compensation level. First, is the compensation pretty much equivalent on a prorated basis to what the part-time versus full-time position would be? And secondly, is it comparable across the government in terms of other positions of similar responsibility?
It's comparable to other election coordinators at Classics County. So she turned in that data. It was sent to the personnel committee, and it was in line with that request. So,
and then in terms of the prorated of what we had been compensating the part-time position, is there a change in terms of that amount? Like, is this more than just changing it from part-time to full-time? Is it actually an increase to that position's overall salary?
Well, it was rated at a part-time position, so, I mean, it is a salary increase up to a full-time level. If that is.
Right. So if the part-time was 20 hours a week and now it's full-time at 40 hours a week, is this just double? Or is it more than double?
I don't have that information in front of me.
No. It's my information, and Justice Higgins can add, or Tammy Lemmings, Chief Deputy, can add. But I think the most relevant question in my mind was, is it in line with the comps and our expectations? You know, we're a Class 6 county. There are other Class 6 counties, but not all Class 6 counties are really similar to Faulkner County. So, but anyway, it met with my administration's approval. It's not out of line, but it's a valid question for sure. Tammy, did you have anything to add?
I was just going to say that I believe the hourly rate that Laura was making is going to be comparable to the hourly rate for the salary that was requested. Also, Morgan did say that, you know, this is an average. She presented that to the personnel committee, that it's an average of the Classics County and there's only one Plastics County that was below this amount, and that is the one on the lower level of the Plastics County.
It's the smallest one.
In terms of size.
We are actually in the upper part of the Plastics counties, and this is just a little bit lower than the three others besides
Thank you for that explanation. Did that make sense? Did that answer your question? So, Tammy explained it more clearly than I did, I think. Any other questions or discussion? All right, Madam Secretariat.
Allison?
Yes.
Coates?
Yes.
Kendrick?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Lyon?
Yes.
Yes.
Boss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Shaw.
Yes.
Strange.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Morgan. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion carries and 25-26 passes. Next we have tab number 6. This is proposed ordinance 25-27, and this is with Sheriff's Office. It's reclassifying and adjusting position and budget.
Judge, I make a motion for the passage of 25-27.
So that was Lahosky. Who was the second? Justice Knight. All right, Justice Lahosky.
I have a reading first, Your Honor. A proposed ordinance 25-27, sponsored by Justice Tyler Lahosky, being acted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an ordinance to reclassify a job title to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 24-25, November 20th, 2024, and to declare an emergency.
Justice Lahosky.
Judge, I think I will, if you let me, pass it over to Chief Deputy Woolley.
All right, Chief.
Yes, sir. So currently we have a open position in our jail for jail administrator. It's been advertised. It is currently being advertised to the public. For that position, looking ahead for qualified candidates, I ran a salary survey of the Class 6 counties, which gave me an average of them around 77,700. I ran a bed count survey of these Class 6 counties, and we are the largest jail as far as bed space out of all Class 6 counties. However, we were a little over 8,000 lower than salary. So there was only one county lower than us, and that was White County. So I started looking to see where we could find the money without approaching the court to try to ask for new money. We did have a position in the jail that was labeled the detention first lieutenant. We ended up capping that position to just a normal, and paid it at a lieutenant rate, just due to we didn't feel the need to keep that position as it was. So that gave me around $5,163 to ask you to add to the jail administrator's salary, which will get them up to around 74.6. Now we're still, again, below the average, but we're better than we was this year. So that's the short version.
Thank you for the explanation. Any discussions or questions? Just Kendrick.
I was just going to say, Chief, I appreciate you going through your budget and finding money in there to shift it around and not having to ask for new money. So thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
Lahosky, just Lahosky.
I just want to say, Chief, thank you for pass this along to the sheriff. Thank you for the transparency and everything y'all been able to provide in the events that led up to you asking for this money for the increase. I hope we can find someone to fill this position, someone good to fill this position of jail administrator. It's a difficult position. It's a difficult beast to manage. And so I hope we can find someone to fill this position at this salary range. I know you share these sentiments because we've talked about it. If someone in the jail sees something going on wrong between someone who's in charge and someone who's locked up, they need to report it.
Absolutely.
They need to not be scared of retaliation from superiors, from anything else. Report what's going on.
Yes, sir.
So we can address the issue. But, yes, I appreciate what y'all have done in cleaning that up over there.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any questions? Further discussion? Chief, thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
Roll call vote, please.
Allison?
Yes.
Coates?
Yes.
Kinder?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Huff?
Yes.
Lund?
Yes.
Meeks?
Yes.
Mullah?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Shaw?
Yes.
Strang?
Yes.
Tyler?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
motion
you.
Carries. 25-27 passes. Next on the agenda, we do have an appointment this month. We welcome Mr. Marcus Schock. This is for the museum board. They had a vacancy, and as you know, the board's been hard at work, really trying to make things work from a budget standpoint and from public accessibility, from logging the priceless assets that the museum curates, and all of the above. I think anyone within eyeshot of the museum has noticed, a concerted effort to try to bring that thing forward. It's always in good shape, but they saw opportunity to improve it. They have a vacancy due to a family situation. We appreciate, all who have served. I'll just leave it with that. And the board has recommended Mr. Marcus Schock to me. I reviewed his application. I believe you've got that in your packet. He and his family are fixtures in this community. We're all familiar with the several bunches of Schocks, and he lives not far from the museum, as I understand it, and has an interest in the subject matter. And I am appointing him, asking for your affirmation of his appointment.
Judge, motion to approve Marcus Schock's appointment to the museum board.
Okay. Kendrick, we had multiple seconds. I heard Justice Moss. Okay. All right.
And Judge, you have done a thorough background check on this individual.
Yes, we closed one eye. We closed one eye. But anyway, I am asking for your vote. If there is any discussion, we don't generally go into a whole lot of detail on this. You've got the material before you. And with that in mind, all in favor indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you and congratulations to Mr. Schock. Thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate it. Certainly give you an opportunity to address the court if you'd like. It's not a requirement for the vetting process or anything like that, but we thank you.
I'd like to say thank you. Looking forward to serving, and history is something that's important to me, and I just think it's going to be a great experience, and thank you.
Yeah, I want to thank you for stepping up. Obviously it's a volunteer position on the board, and we just appreciate you answering the call to dedicate time and expertise to our museum.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any announcements? Any public comments? I think I missed that on the agenda. Anything else to come before the court tonight? I'd invite you to make your way out to the county fair. It's been a good turnout so far. It's a little bit cooler out there now than it has been today. And it'll be cooler tomorrow and Saturday. So, been a good turnout. Get out there and see the livestock. All right, we are adjourned.